those here this morning. Lord, I ask that you would please help all of us to have listening ears. Lord, help us to be attentive to your word. Father, I ask that you would please help me to have a clear mind. Help me to have the words to say, Father. Help me to be able to help these dear people. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say the things that you would have me to say. And Father, to not say those things which will not be pleasing to you. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter number 5. And we've been going kind of with this theme of love and Valentine's Day being Friday. And we just had our sweetheart married couples banquet. And you know, I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of having a Bible-centered marriage. A Bible-centered marriage. And it just seemed like a good Sunday to be able to deal with a subject like this. And you know, if you're married this morning, you should be paying attention. You should be taking notes. You should be listening to what the Bible says in regards to being Bible, having a Bible-centered marriage. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you're single. But you're going to get married someday. This would be good advice for you to give to your to take for yourself once you are married. Maybe you've been married for a long time. You say, I don't really need a sermon on a Bible-centered marriage. We've been married now for years and years. But you know, these lessons could be things that you could teach your children, could teach your grandchildren. And really, it's good for all of us to be able to study subjects from the Bible. So this morning, we're going to be talking about a Bible-centered marriage. Now, keep your finger there in Ephesians chapter 5. And just real quickly, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You're there in Ephesians. If you go towards the right, you have the book of Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Then you've got 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want you to understand something, okay? A Bible-centered marriage means that the Bible is the boss. And by the way, if you are going to be a Christian who is a biblicist in your life, you must come to the place where the Bible is your boss.
Amen.
Not society, not our culture, not what this world says, but what the Bible says. And often, you must understand this, often when you begin to actually read the Bible, you will find that the Bible often goes against our culture and what we've been taught from our society and what we've been taught our whole lives. You know, are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Look at verse number 2. It's the verse we've looked at before, but I want you to see it again. The Bible says, preach the word. That's my job. Now notice how Paul says to do it. He says, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That phrase there, be instant, in season, out of season, this is what Paul was saying to a young preacher, Timothy. He was saying, look, your job is to preach the Word of God, your job is to preach the Bible, and your job is to preach it whether it's in season or out of season. You know what that means? You know, you talk about, I have clothing that's in season. Here's what you're saying. I've got clothing that's fashionable, right? I've got clothing that's popular. He says, look, your job is to preach the Word, whether the Word of God is in season, whether it's fashionable, whether it's popular, whether people like it. He said, in season, out of season, your job is to preach the Word. And you know, what you ought to know about Verity Baptist Church, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, is that at this church, we preach the Word whether it's in season, out of season.
Amen.
Whether people like it or not, whether our society likes it or not, whether our culture likes it or not, because you know what? The only thing that will last eternity is the Word of God.
Amen.
In and of itself. Obviously, if you're saved, you will last eternity through Christ. Now, you need to understand this. The reason today there is an attack on marriage. I was reading, I say this often, but I was reading just recently again. Statistics show that between Christians and non-Christians, marriages are ending, 50 to 60% of marriages are ending in divorce today in the United States of America. And it's the same numbers within Christianity and within the world. And the reason that so many people are unhappy in their marriages is because they are not living within the roles that God created for them in their marriage. And you know, God spells out for us exactly what is expected of an individual when they enter into a marriage. And I'm here to tell you, when you read it and when you study it, you might say, well, that's not what the world says, and that's not what I read it in marriage books, and that's not what our culture has taught us. But I'm here to tell you, when you follow the Word of God, you will be the happiest in your life because you are fulfilling exactly what you were created to do.
Right.
Are you there in Ephesians chapter 5? Let's start number 1, if you're taking notes. Let's talk about the biblical role of a husband. the biblical role of a husband. What exactly is a husband supposed to do to be the husband that God wants him to be? Verse 23, the Bible says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife." For the husband is the head of the wife. Now notice this phrase, "even as." The words "even as" mean in the same way. He says the husband is the head of the wife, even as, or in the same way, that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. You've got to understand this. When it comes to the Word of God, God has determined and God has placed men to be the leaders in their homes. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church. In the same way that Christ is to lead the church, in the same way that Christ, you know, when you come to Verity Baptist Church, Pastor Jimenez doesn't just stand up here and just tell you, you know, well, this is what I think we should do, and this is how I think we should do it, and this is what I, you know, what we do is what? We take the Word of God and we see what God says we should do.
Amen.
Because you know what? God and the Word of God and Jesus Christ, which are all one and the same, that is the head of this church. That is the head of body of believers. I can't stand up, you know, you may ask this question, you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, who are you accountable to? I'm accountable to the Word of God, same as you. And here's the thing, in the same way that the church is under the authority of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that husbands are to be the head of the wife. They're to be the leader of the home, the spiritual leader. Keep your finger there in Ephesians 5. Go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Some of you are thinking to yourself, well, that's not what Dr. Phil said. That's not what Oprah Winfrey said. Look, I know what our modern day culture teaches. I know what our society teaches. Our society says, in a marriage, it's 50-50. In a marriage, you split everything down the middle. In the marriage, there is no boss. In the marriage, the wife is as much of a leader as a husband. But I'm here to tell you that's exactly why 50 to 60% of marriages are ending in
thrashed. Amen.
The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Are you there in Genesis chapter 3? Look at verse number 16. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. And I would keep your finger there or a bulletin or something in Genesis 3. Because we're coming back to it. But Genesis 3:16 says this. Unto the woman he said, this is God talking to the woman, Eve. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And notice what it says. He shall rule with thee. Is that what it says? He shall rule over thee, is what the Bible says. And I'm here to tell you, I've never heard, I cannot believe that you are saying that men are supposed to lead. Look, the Bible says that husbands are to take the leadership role. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, the sad part is that the biggest battle we have in America today and the biggest battle we have in Christianity today is not trying to get women to, you know, be subject unto their husband. It's just trying to motivate men to take the leadership role. Today, men, I mean, just from you know, birth, men have been told, you know, it is wrong to be manly, it is wrong to be masculine, you need to get in touch with your feminine side, you need to put on a pink shirt, you need to put on a little tight pants, you need to grow out your hair like a girl, and you need to put an earring in your ear, and paint your toenails, and paint your nails, and get a manicure, and get a pedicure, and they've been told, you know, America has tried to feminize manliness.
Right.
And you know, I'm here to tell you, there is a church, there is a pastor, there is a Word of God that's come to preach that men ought to be men and women ought to be women. Look, I'm not here to tell you that women are less than men, because they're not. Men are not better than women. Women are not better than men. But they have different roles in life, and God has given the role of being a leader to the men. And you know, the problem is not that women are trying to usurp the authority as much as it is that women, that men are giving up their leadership. You know, if you're going to be the spiritual leader, sir, you may want to take the role seriously. This is a sobering thought. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 says this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, also, as also saith the law." Somebody asked me a question. Will you ever have a woman preacher at Verity Baptist Church? Here's my response. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Well, but Joyce Meyer said that. I don't care what Joyce Meyer said. The Word of God says, let the women keep silence in the church.
But I heard that, look, I know what our culture says. I know what our culture teaches. I'm just here to tell you that the Bible says that men are to take the leadership role. They are to take it at the church house. They are to take it in their personal house. They are to take it in the government. I mean, men were made to lead. That's what the Bible says.
Verse 35. Now notice what it says about these men. And if they will learn anything.
So what it says? Let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
Now here's the thing, sir. You ought to be developing your spiritual life so much that your wife can come ask you a Bible question and you can give her the answer or you can know how to find it.
That's right. Come on.
But you know what the sad part is in our churches today? You know what the sad part is at Verity Baptist Church today? That probably more women read their Bible than men. Probably more women are more faithful to God than men. And men have given up. Men have given up their leadership role and just said, oh, let the woman lead. Let her be the spiritual leader. The Bible says, sir, that you are to be the spiritual leader. And let me just clue you in on a little secret. Go back to Genesis chapter 3.
I love preaching sermons like this because all the guys are like this.
But you know what all the women are doing? If you have the guts, sir, to look at your wife, you know what she's doing? Let me just let you in on the dirty little secret that our society doesn't want you to know. Our society has taught us it is wrong for men to take the leadership role. The sad part is many men have given up their call to lead. They took the line. They took the lie. They believed it. But you know, the truth is, are you there in Genesis 3? Look at verse 16. We read this verse earlier. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. In thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
Now notice this phrase. This is what the Word of God says. You say, well, you're not a woman. I know I'm not a woman. Praise God. But look what God says about women.
And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know what the little secret is? That these women that run around with hair on their legs and hair in their armpits and they want to burn their bras.
The feminist movement of today. You know what the secret is that they don't want you to know? The truth of the matter is that whether they like to admit it or not, every woman wants a man that's going to be strong and a leader and provide and protect for them. Every single one.
If you got them alone and you talk to them and their little, college professor wasn't around and their little feminist, Hillary Clinton group wasn't around and you actually said, hey, who would you like to spend the rest of your life with? Some limp-wristed little, guy that can barely, stand up, doesn't know how to get up in the morning, doesn't know how to work hard, doesn't know how to be a man, can't lift anything. Or if you want a strong man that's going to lead you and going to be the spiritual leader and provide and protect for you, I'm going to tell you, every woman's going to take a strong man. Every woman wants a leader. You say, well, that's not what they say. You take that bull by the horns, and I'm telling you, it wants to be led.
I can't believe you're saying that.
I can't believe. I didn't think I'd come to church and hear this. Because see, you've gone to churches with a bunch of little feminine pastors.
That's right.
They don't want to stand up and preach the Word of God.
That's right.
You've never met a preacher like this without you going to preach the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, whether you want to admit it or not, God designed women to have a desire to the husband that's going to rule over them.
You know what every woman that comes to church without her husband wants? Her husband to be in church. You know what every woman that reads the Bible to her kids every night or every morning, you know what she wants? That her husband will read the Bible to their kids. You know what every woman that teaches their children how to pray and how to love God, you know what they actually want? That their husband would step up and teach the kids how to pray and how to love God. But you know what the average guy is busy doing? Watching TV, playing video games, doing nothing productive.
That's right.
The problem, Pastor, is that these women won't be submissive.
No, the problem is that most guys don't want to stand up and lead.
The Bible says that the husbands are to lead their wives.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, before you start getting a little carried away, some of you are writing notes to your wife right now. I've got a to-do list for you, honey. Rub my feet. Before you start getting a little carried away, sir, let's check and balance that. Are you there in Ephesians 5? Look at verse 25.
God commanded you to lead. But you know what else? God has commanded you to love your wife. Are you there in Ephesians 5? Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Now notice, how are you to love your wife? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In the same way that Jesus Christ loved you and I, that He would give up His life, He would sacrifice Himself for us. The Bible says that you, husbands, are to love your wife in the same way that you would give up your life for them. Now listen, if you love your wife in the same way that Christ loved your church, guess what? You're not going to take advantage of her. You're not going to abuse her. You're not going to, you know, I'm the leader, bless God. Didn't you hear what the pastor said? Well, listen to what the pastor's saying right now. Your job is to love your wife in the same way that Christ loved the church. And every time you come short, and every time you fail, and every time you do wrong, and every time you don't, you know, exactly do everything that God wants you to do, He doesn't come down on you hard. The Bible says that our jobs are to lead our families and to lead our wives, but we are to lead them with love, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I love how God explains to us multiple times how to love our wives. In verse 25, He says, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. In verse 33, go down to verse 33, look what He says. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Here's another example. In case you don't understand the example of loving your wife in the same way that Christ loved the church, He says, okay, maybe you'll get this one. So love his wife even as himself. You say, well, I don't understand, how am I supposed to love my wife like Christ? Okay, do you know how to love yourself? Then love your wife in the same way. You know, He spells it out multiple times. You know, guys are a little hard-headed. Sometimes they need to hear it once or twice or three times. He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And see that, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So He says, you are to love her in the same way you love yourself. The same way you like to be treated, you treat her. Same things you would like her to say to you, you say to her. Treat her as yourself. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19. You're in Ephesians, go to past Philippians, and you'll get to Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 19. Colossians 3:19. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. How many times does he have to say it? And notice what he says. And be not bitter against them. See, you are to love them in the same way that Christ loved the church, a sacrificial love. You are to love them as you love yourself. You are to love them with no ill feelings towards your wife. Hey, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ forgives you?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ doesn't keep bringing, you know, your past up to you? Aren't you glad that He takes your sins and you know, just forgets about them, never brings them up again? He puts them in the sea of His forgetfulness. He just forgets it. He has no ill feelings towards you. He loves you exactly how you are. Well, you know what? In the same way you are to love your wife is what the Bible says. Well, I'm the leader. Then love your wife. My role is to lead. Your role is to love as well. Husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. What I'm about to tell you, and listen to me. I am not, you know, my job is to preach the word. I am trying to be a better husband every day. I'm not perfect at this. You don't believe me? Talk to my wife. Okay, don't talk to my wife. But what I'm about to tell you, you know, honestly, you guys, if you would just grasp, if all you heard was this one thing, what I'm about to tell you, it would revolutionize your life. 1 Peter 3:7. The Bible says, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. I want you to see what the Bible says here. According to knowledge, and giving honor. The word honor there means great respect, regard, esteem, unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You say, Pastor Menes, how am I to love my wife sacrificially? How am I supposed to love my wife in the way you love yourself? How am I supposed to love my wife with no ill feelings towards her? How am I supposed to love my wife? The Bible says this, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know that it is your job, sir, to get to know your wife and everything about her? No, that is your job to dwell with her according to knowledge, to understand her, to communicate with her. See, you need to understand this. This is what I told you. If you can grasp this, I think it'll really help your marriage. Men gauge love Men gauge friendship with companionship. See, two guys could spend the whole day together. Two guys could be driving down the road, not say a word to each other, but just be together, and they're having a great time. No conversation needed. No, nothing needed. Men love companionship. Men gauge friendship and gauge love with companionship. Women do not. Women gauge love with communication. Conversation. See, sometimes I'll be reading my Bible. I'll be on the couch and I'll be reading my Bible. You know, I'm reading for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever, an hour. You know, and my wife will be sitting next to me and she'll be reading her Bible and she'll be doing something, you know. And then I'll go to do something and you know, maybe it's my day off or something, and my wife says, you know, I'd like for us to do something there. And here's what I think to myself, we've been sitting here together for like an hour. What are you talking about? But see, men gauge companionship, love by companionship. Women don't. It's communication. You understand that? Sometimes I'll be working on my car and I'll ask my wife, you know, can you just come out here with me? And she's like, okay, sure. She'll bring a chair out, you know. I'll be working, not saying anything, sir. And she's like, why do you want me to come out here? I just want you to come out here. I want you to be with me. See, God, wife, you understand this about your husband. When you're just sitting next to him, that's how you being with him, that's how he gauges love. You know, I'll go out soul winning with the guys, and I'll come home, you know, after soul winning for a couple hours. My wife will say, Brother so-and-so say anything interesting? No. What were you guys talking about?
Nothing.
Did you have a good time? Oh yeah, it was great. You gotta understand this. Men gauge love by companionship. Women gauge it by communication. Simply being with them is not enough. Talking to them, getting to know them, learning about them. That's what they require. And if you are to properly love your wife, you are to learn to get to know her. And that requires putting the newspaper down. That requires logging off of Facebook. That requires turning the video games off. That requires turning the television off. And that requires spending time together in communication. Bible says, likewise, it says to love your wife according, it says to dwell with her according to knowledge. You say, how do I love my wife? Get to know her. How do I love my wife? Communicate with her. How do I love my wife? Talk to her. How do I love my wife? It's not enough to just spend time. It's not enough to just be in the same room with her. You've got to communicate with her. That's how you love your wife. Number two, let's talk about the biblical role of a wife. We said number one, the biblical role of a husband. What's the biblical role of a husband? To lead. What's the biblical role of a husband? To love. Let's talk about the role of a wife. The role of a wife. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The word submit means to put yourself under the authority of. The word submit is to put yourself under the leadership of. You say, how am I to do this? Now remember, how is a husband supposed to love his wife? As Christ loved the church, right? Now notice what the Bible says about a woman, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see that? In the same way that you would submit yourself to Jesus Christ, in the same way that you would do what Jesus Christ asked you to do, in the same way that you would give Him the authority in your life, the Bible says that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands. Why? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Notice verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. I want you to notice there, the Bible says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And you know what's interesting as you read these passages? This is what God keeps saying over and over. He says, unto your own husband. He says, unto your own husband. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. And see, this is what I understand. So today, you know, women have been taught, I'm not going to submit myself to a man. Here's the funny thing. You don't have a problem submitting to the man at work. You don't have a problem submitting to other men. You know, if you're going to submit to some guy at work that you don't know, that doesn't care about you, that's not praying for you, that's not providing for you, why not submit yourself to your own husband? He says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. He says, wives, be in subjection unto your own husband. The word subjection, to submit, it means to put yourself under the leadership. Here's what it means. Go to verse, go back to Ephesians 5:24. Ephesians 5:24. The word submit means to obey. Wives are to obey their husbands. Are you there in Ephesians 5:24? The Bible says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Now notice what it says here. In everything. Does it say in some things? Does it say in most things? Listen. Wife, your job is to submit yourself, and your job is to listen to your husband and obey him in everything. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 4. Titus chapter number 2, verse 4. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. The context is of the elder women teaching the younger women. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, Titus 2:4 says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Look at verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. Look what it says. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The Bible says that women are to submit. They are to be obedient. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to all the same references, just looking at different things. Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says, I know, it's not popular. I know, it's not, you know, you're thinking, here's how far our society is. Some of you are thinking, is it legal for him to even be saying those things? I can't believe I'm hearing this. I'm going to have to call somebody. Call somebody. This is what the Bible says.
Is your wife abused? Ask her.
I don't think so. See, we're not talking about abusing women. We're talking about leading women. We're talking about loving women. And women ought to submit themselves to a man that is wanting to lead. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 18. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, notice the last phrase, okay? I'm going to give you the one exception. As it is fit in the Lord. You see that? You are to obey your husband as it is fit in the Lord. So here's your exception. You're supposed to obey him in everything. You're supposed to submit in everything. Anything he asks, it is your job to do it. Now here's the thing though. Here's the exception. As it is fit in the Lord. The moment your husband, ladies, asks you to do something that God would not like you to do, now you have permission to disobey. You know why? Because the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. Your husband says, I don't want you going to church anymore. You disobey him. Because God commanded you to go to church. Your husband says, I want you to, you know, help me rob a bank. Don't do it. Disobey. Okay, so you're not supposed to just obey everything they say. You're supposed to obey everything they say as it is fit in the Lord. As long as it's not a sin. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me give you one more thing in regards to submitting. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 33. Ephesians 5:33. What are women to do? They are to submit. What does that mean? It means to obey. What does that mean? It means to put yourself under the authority of. What does that mean? The Bible uses a very specific word here. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And notice what it says here. The wife, see that she reverence. Do you see that word reverence there? So see that she reverence. That means to respect. That means to honor. It says that she reverence her husband. You say, What is my job biblically to do to my husband? Wives, it is to respect your husband. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3.
1 Peter chapter 3.
I gave the guys a thought that would revolutionize their life. Ladies, I'd like to give you one also.
If you took heed to this idea,
if you understood this, I promise you it would change your marriage. Men do not respond to love. They respond to respect.
Amen.
See, here's what women say. I love him. I don't know why I can't get him to love me.
Because you love him, but you're constantly disrespecting him.
You're constantly bad-mouthing him. You're constantly
questioning him. You're constantly mistreating him.
You say, you can love him all day long. He's you gotta understand this. He's not a woman. He does not respond to love. I just wish I loved you so much. You know I love you. I just wish you loved me like I love you.
You can't. That doesn't work with men. You want love? Give him respect. And by the way, it's vice versa. Men. You know, well,
yeah, sure, I mean, I don't ever tell her I love her. I can't remember the last time I took her on a date. I've never, you know, I never say anything nice to her, but I mean, I pay her bills. I show her respect.
She doesn't care about that. She doesn't respond to respect. She responds to love. You understand that?
Women are commanded to reverence their husband. You give him reverence. You give him respect, he'll give you love. You give her love, she'll give you respect. The problem is, women give love hoping they get love back, and they never get it. And men give respect hoping they get respect back, and they never get it.
Because men were commanded to love, and women were commanded to reverence.
Right. That's what the Bible says. Yeah.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me take it a step further.
1 Peter chapter 3. Every time your husband says, he gets upset. I don't like that you did that. I don't like how you did that. I don't like that you said that. You got to cue in on those things because when he feels disrespected, he's not going to return that love.
And same with the man.
When your wife says, well, I wish you would do this. I wish you would do that. You got to cue in on those things because when she feels unloved, she's not going to give the respect. And men need reverence. That's what God said. And women need love. That's what God said.
Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 3? Let me show you something about reverence. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 3. 1 Peter 3:3 says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Does that describe you, ladies? It should. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Look at verse 5, 1 Peter 3, 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection, right, unto their own husbands. Look at verse 6.
Even as, he's going to give you an example of what it means to be in subjection to your husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. If you go back to the Old Testament and study Abraham and Sarah, you'll find that the way she was subject to Abraham is she obeyed him. Abraham said, I'd like you to do X, Y, and Z, and she did it. But notice this. Look at verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. You guys thought I was crazy before. You're going to think I'm crazy now. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Look what it says. Calling him Lord.
Pastor, you want me to call my husband Lord? No.
It'll go to his head, trust me. I know your husband.
But here's what Jesus is saying. The word Lord is a title.
It's actually the equivalent of our modern language today is sir. If you know the Spanish word for Lord is Señor. Comes from the same root word as sir. I'm not telling you what to do. My job is to preach the word. You do with it what you want. Some of you aren't coming back anyway. But here's the thing.
Here's what I'm saying. Abraham was subject unto her husband. When he said, I need X, Y, and Z, she said, yes, sir.
I can't believe you're saying, I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. But I promise you this, every time she showed that respect and said, yes, Lord, I promise you, Abraham gave love. What do men need? Reverence. What do women need? Love. When you get those mixed up, you're never, it's never going to work. Women
who don't give respect to their husbands don't get love from their husbands. And men who don't give love to their wives don't get respect from their wives.
So you got to understand this. It's not about are men better, are women better. It's about the fact that we're individuals. We have different roles. And we respond differently.
Go to Genesis chapter number 2. We said men are to what? Lead. And they are to what? Love. We said that wives are to submit, which means to put yourself under the authority of, which means to obey, which means to reverence, to respect. What else are wives supposed to do? Genesis 2:18. I want you to see the Bible says here, Genesis 2:18, this is when God was making Eve. The Bible says, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and, make note of this phrase, help me for him. God had just got done giving Adam a task. And then God said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. He said, I'm going to give him a help meet. You know what the word meet means? Suitable. He said, I'm going to give him a help suitable for him. That is why God even instituted marriage. That, by the way, you didn't like the rest of the sermon. You didn't like this. But that's why God created women. Show me that in the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're almost done. Trust me, I know. It's uncomfortable for some of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 8.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8.
I just want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. The word of means came from. Eve was taken from the rib of Adam, right? So he said, the man is not of the woman. The man did not come from the woman, but the woman of the man. Look at verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The Bible says the woman was created for the man. Why? Because she was created to be an help meet.
She was created to be a help suitable. I'm just trying to help you understand. I know you don't like it. I know our society doesn't teach it. I know that people will look at me and say, he's a male chauvinist pig. I'm a male chauvinist hog.
I know people think it's crazy, but you got to understand this. Women were created to be a help suitable for their husbands. See, you got to understand this.
Ladies, you will be the happiest in life when you make it your goal in life to see that your husband succeeds.
That's what you were created to do. To be an help meet. To be a help suitable. God created you to be a help suitable for him. To help him accomplish the task that God has given him. Now look, understand this. You're saying, Pastor Ben, are you really saying women were created to help men succeed? That's exactly what I'm saying.
And guess what?
Men were created to provide and love for their wives.
See, you say, I'm not going to help him succeed. I'm going to go get a job and I'm going to be
the first female president of the United States. That's not what you were created to be, sweetheart.
I'm going to be the first governor of California.
That's not what God created you to be.
The Bible says that he said, I would that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, and give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
I'm here to tell you, women were created to help their husband succeed in life, and the role of a husband is to make sure that
his wife and his children succeed in their lives. And guess what? When you do that, it's a perfect circle.
Amen.
Harmony of life. You know why most marriages are ending in divorce? Because the husband is trying to figure out what's in it for him, while the wife is trying to figure out what's in it for her, and they're not working together.
Right.
I can't believe, Pastor Jimenez, your wife just stays home all day, homeschools those kids,
while you go off to work.
Yeah, but guess what? You know why I go off to work every day?
To make sure that she has everything she needs for her role in life.
And guess what? When we're old and retired, I don't think she's going to regret. I don't think she's going to regret. You know,
man, I really wish I would just put all those hours in and got that gold watch at retirement.
But you know what a lot of women are going to regret? I wish I would spend more time with my kids. I wish I wouldn't have put them off in daycare. I wish I would have spent time with them. I wish I would have raised them. I wish I would have loved them. Look, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to tell you, the Bible is very clear of what our roles are. Men, your role is to provide and to love and to lead and make sure that your wife is a success in her life and in the things that God has called her to do, which is to raise those children. And guess what, ladies? Your job is to make sure he's successful. And when he's successful, you're successful. And when she's successful, he's successful. And that's how it's supposed to work.
Amen.
You were created to be a helpmeet.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're done right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Pastor Menace, your wife is under bondage. Really?
You know, because my wife doesn't check into anybody. My wife doesn't, you know, she doesn't have a time clock.
She doesn't have anywhere she has to be. Guess what? My wife gets to do whatever she wants all day long.
And she, don't misunderstand me. She has responsibilities. She has a lot of work. She has a heavy workload. She homeschools our children. She takes care of the house. She performs the roles of a pastor's wife. She leads pretty much every event we do around here. She's got a lot to do, but I'm here to tell you, you know, guess who gets up at 5 in the morning, you know, just upset that it's Monday morning and I'm tired, but I need to get to work because I need to provide for my family. Guess who does that? This guy. Guess who doesn't have to do that? She can do whatever she wants. She's actually more free than the working woman.
That's a dirty little secret they don't want you to know.
She doesn't have her own job!
And she does whatever she wants for their kids all day long. And she's happy.
She's in her role in life.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me just give you two thoughts. We're done right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You won't have to hear me preach about this till next Valentine's. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. What do you owe each other? Here's what you owe each other. Let the husband render. You know what the word render means? It means to present. Let the husband render, present
unto the wife due. You know what the word due means? It means you owe it to her. So God says, let the husband render, let him present what is due, what is owed to his wife. What is that? Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence.
You see the word benevolence there?
What does that word mean? Kindness and goodwill. What do you owe your wife?
To be kind, to love her, to be nice to her, to be a friend to her.
And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. You know, it is your job to be each other's friends. It's your job to be kind to each other, to have goodwill towards each other.
You owe each other kindness. Look at verse 4. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but let's just deal with it because we're here. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Say, what is that talking about? It's talking about a physical relationship between husband and wife. Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that you are to have physical relationships together and your body. You say, it's my body. That's not what the Bible says. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband has not power of his body, but the wife. That's what the Bible says.
Was there ever a time that we can go a long time without having a physical relationship? If you're fasting and praying. But other than that, you ought to have access to each other.
And to go a long time without a physical relationship is just going to bring temptation, and it's wrong, and it's a sin. Now understand this, okay? Verse 3 is in the context of verse 4 and 5.
In verse 3, he says, show each other kindness. In verses 4 and 5, he says, have a physical relationship. Now, you got, they're in a context for a reason. Here's what that means. Men, don't try to get a physical relationship without showing kindness. And women, don't try to get kindness without having a physical relationship. They go together. I can't believe you're saying, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. You owe each other kindness, and guess what? You owe each other a physical relationship.
Marriages where people are just like,
we haven't been together in 7.5 years. That is a sin. That is wrong. You ought to get right with God. If you're listening, wives, if you're just constantly the one saying, not tonight, I got to wash my hair, you ought to get right with God. It's a sin, and it's wrong. That's what the Bible says.
See, I've never heard this before. You've never been to a Bible preaching church. I didn't say you've never been to a church. I just said you've never been to a Bible preaching church.
No.
I can't believe you said all this. Everything I said came straight out of the Bible.
Amen.
I can't believe it. You believe that all you want, but that's why you're going to end in divorce. Or you're very likely to. When you live in the role.
You say, Pastor, are you against that? Look, I'm not against anybody here. I love you. That's why I'm preaching the truth. You take it and you do what you want with it. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to care for you. I don't care what you do. Look, I have enough trouble trying to make sure I meet my role as a husband. But I'm telling you this, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says.
And we would do well to take heed to it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church.
Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would take the sermon, Father, in the spirit in which it was given.
Lord, I'm not preaching this, teaching this to try to hurt people's feelings, Lord. I just understand that our society doesn't teach this. Our culture doesn't teach this. This is not what the media teaches today. This is not what the school system teaches today. But it's the Word of God. And our job is to preach the Word instant, in season, out of season. Whether it's popular, whether it's not popular, whether it's fashionable, whether it's not fashionable, whether people like it or whether they don't like it. Father, I pray that there'd be marriages today, husbands today that would say, you know what, I'm going to take the leadership role. Father, I pray there'd be wives today who would say, you know, maybe I have been rebelling against the role that God has for me and haven't been submitting the way that I should. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to focus on our roles. It's not my job to sit there and tell my wife how she's not meeting her qualifications. It's not her job to sit there and tell me how I'm not. It's our jobs to work on our hearts together. Let every marriage here, Lord, please help no one to leave here today. No husband telling his wife, you know, well, this is what you're doing wrong. Help us to work on what we're doing wrong. To serve you, to love you, as unto the Lord. Father, I pray that you would strengthen marriages. Father, I pray that these young people coming up that are going to be getting married soon and the teenagers and children that will be getting married in the future, I pray that these words would sink into their ears and they would realize that there are roles in marriages and there is a way that marriage is supposed to work and it can be successful. It doesn't have to be just this bitter argument. Lord, I pray you'd help all of us in our hearts to be right with you. We love you, Father. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.